Hey, everybody, and welcome to Healthy Discourse. It's Emily here, and I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest, Evie Solheim. It's really exciting the way that Evie and I were connected. I think it was in a Facebook group, actually, but she has a really fascinating background and writes really great articles. She interviewed me about my home birth experience here in North Carolina, where home birth midwives, also known as generally CPM certified professional midwives, are not licensed by our state. And we're going to dig into all that in just a minute, but a little bit more about Evie. She's a soon-to-be mom of two. Congratulations. And she lives in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, not terribly far from where I'm from, but she is from here in North Carolina, where I live. The mountains of West Virginia is the last place she thought she'd be. Evie and her husband Nick have a 16-month-old daughter and are expecting their first son in August. Yay! Boys are awesome. I'm still learning about girls. I love having a girl now, though. Evie is an excellent writer. That's how we were connected. She's been featured in Newsweek, The American Conservative, and FoxNews.com. She used to be a full-time journalist. I want to hear more about that, by the way. And she now balances motherhood and freelance writing, including writing about one of her favorite topics, home birth. Her article on home birth, The Home Birth Outlaws, loved the title, by the way, was featured on the cover of the March-April issue of The American Conservative. She writes bi-weekly, a newsletter called The Girl's Guide, which features interviews and advice from interesting and accomplished women. She studied political journalism at Patrick Henry College. And she's also a home birth mom. So, welcome to the show, Evie. So happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I wish we lived closer together so we could go have lunch because we have so many things to talk about. But home birth is so exciting and definitely one of them. So, I'm just curious to start. We'll talk more specifically about the article and everything you learned. But have you gotten a lot of feedback from this article so far, like interest? Or I just am curious about that as far as are people like, wow, I didn't know that?
Yeah, I had really interesting responses. I even had women who were home birth babies. So they're now moms, and their mothers were at the forefront of like kind of the move to home birth, which kind of started in the 70s, reacting to the article, giving their two cents, which I thought was fascinating. But yeah, I feel like I have a really surprisingly large circle of home birth mom friends, like organically. So it was really fun to either interview them or kind of hear their responses about it. But yeah, it was just fun to get to write. The article has a little bit of the legislative political side, it has the personal side, it has the medical side. So yeah, I was definitely getting a lot of interest from people, who said, I might not consider a home birth, but what resources should I look at after reading the article? So that was really fun for me.
That's awesome. So to summarize, Evie wrote an article for the American Conservative, as I mentioned, that talked about home birth laws and practices in different states. And it was very fascinating. And I got to share a little bit about my personal experience and kind of our involvement in medical freedom in North Carolina, but also how many questions even freedom-minded physicians and medical providers have around home birth because there's so many long-held, strong opinions about it. And a lot of those are not science-based necessarily. And up until the last 100 years or so, almost everyone was born at home. And so there's that. But anyway, I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about just the overview of what you learned in your research for the article, the laws in different states, and that kind of thing. That's super broad, but what were some of your biggest takeaways? And I, of course, audience, please go check out the link in the notes where we will share the full article. It's really interesting and worth a read and a share. I had a lot of friends read it and share it. So, yeah.
Right. And I'm so glad I had moms like you talk to me, especially going on the record, because it can be scary. But I was so grateful for everybody who talked to me for the article. But it basically started when, I'm a North Carolina native who moved to West Virginia, not understanding that I was moving to a place that had a lot more freedom for home birth compared to North Carolina. My sister and I were actually pregnant at the same time. I delivered 4 months before her. So her son was due 4 months after my daughter was born. And just the different options that we had. I had a lot of options. I'm also living in, like, I guess I'd call it a tri-state area. I live in an area where three states intersect, so I could have picked providers from three different states. And I just had a lot of options, and my sister wasn't super gung-ho about home birth. She was more interested in natural and unmedicated birth. She just knew that home birth was going to be more expensive. North Carolina, she would probably have to go underground. She wouldn't necessarily be able to work with a licensed provider because of North Carolina's laws. So we were just comparing notes, and we both ended up being very happy with our choices. She ended up, I like to joke, I'm like, you beat my record. I went into labor and gave birth in 10 hours. It only took her six
Oh, wow.
for a
Her
first
first
time.
baby. Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Now,
That
my sister, I believe you have a like a fitness athlete background. My sister, that's her background.
is okay.
So she just went into beast mode. Like, I think that's what happened. She's all
I feel that. I understand your sister. Yeah, I feel
she was
that.
in
Mine
beast
was
mode.
pretty quick too.
But she
So.
had a very positive experience in a hospital with a nurse who happened to be very supportive of somebody who wanted to do things unmedicated, holistic. And she and I just both ended up being really happy with it. But it was also just weird that, we just had such different options. I had so many midwives to pick from. And in fact, I picked my midwife semi-randomly before I moved to West Virginia from Virginia. And she turned out to be my backdoor neighbor, which has
That's
been
so funny.
yeah.
That is, I mean, that's perfect because,
Maybe
hey, come
perfect.
on over.
Literally what
I'll let
happened.
you in the back door.
Exactly what happened. So
Yeah.
just crazy God things, that happened. But
Yeah.
so I ended up having so many choices, being happy with my choice. My neighbor slash midwife will be delivering baby number two. But so that kind of jump started this article. And in, I guess, 2023 is when my sister had her baby. I just started thinking
Okay.
about it.
Yeah.
And so I was the American Conservative was my first pick to, pitch it to, because they just cover really interesting, they want to cover the stories no one else is covering.
Yeah.
I have a friend there who's been covering, maternity care deserts and maternal mistreatment, and just kind of a lot of these issues that moms are facing. And so
Well, and I feel that North Carolina as a whole is a maternity care desert because if I'm correct, 25 out of our 100 counties, which is 25%, have no places where women can give birth. And, we talk about access to care, and especially for women who don't necessarily have the means to pay for a home birth, because when you don't have legal certified professional midwives can't take Medicaid or whatever, then it's not accessible for everyone unless you're having a free birth or whatever. That's when you don't have any assistance, for those that might not know. And that comes with many more risks than someone who is licensed and well trained in home birth. So I feel like so much of it just doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't, especially when, in North Carolina, there are certified midwives who, would be counted as certified in any state that does accept CPM licensure. They're saying, we're ready to step in and fill the gaps. Like, let us fill these care gaps. Women in America, we're in a developed country, but then if you look at other countries, like many European countries that use the midwifery care model, our outcomes are just not, they don't stack up. It's really sad. We're spending money, we're saying we're dedicating resources and time, but it's just not giving results.
Talk a little bit about what you found state by state. So in North Carolina, really no home birth is technically legal. Now, it's important to point out that for the birthing mother like me, it's legal for me to give birth wherever I want to. But for the professional midwife to attend is not. Now, something important to note, and correct me if I'm wrong from your research, but the abortion bill that we had passed that limited abortion in North Carolina a little bit several months ago, I think it went to effect, now allows certified nurse midwives to legally assist with home births, which I think is very interesting and a step in the right direction. But that's our statute here. Talk a little bit about West Virginia. And then I think it's really interesting to go to the other extreme, like California, where you would think, because they're so strict about everything, medical freedom wise, otherwise, home birth is a huge thing there. And I actually learned that when I was pregnant. But talk about some of the different ways that states are set up for their home birth policies.
Right. I call it a patchwork of regulations because, like with many areas of the law, every state is going to have its own unique thing going on. So West Virginia, I mean, I've heard people jokingly call it the Wild West because although, the state does not have any body that licenses certified professional midwives, there are certified professional midwives operating. Like that's who I get care from. I have a care provider who is licensed in neighboring Maryland. But her practice is in West Virginia, and West Virginia just says, we're just not worried about it. Like, do what you want. We don't have laws for, we don't have laws against, we don't have laws, that even talk about what kind of birth you can have at home, VBAC, breech, twins. There's really not anything but your own prudence and your provider's prudence, to decide what you do, which, that even has pros and cons.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
Everything's
but
going to have pros and cons,
yeah,
but I'm kind of like,
totally.
I really like the freedom to choose in that. And obviously, there's opportunities for people to take advantage of others and lie about things, that kind of thing, which, like you said, requires personal prudence and what you're comfortable with, but it also allows women to make their own choices.
Totally, totally. And choice is taken away from women in many states, like North Carolina, like New York, like
Yeah.
Georgia, where there's just, either the law is just loose enough to where they say, well, we don't totally, ban you from attended home births, but we're going to make it as hard as possible. Or even there's New York, which, they do have some loopholes that allow attended home births, but then they also crack down really hard on anyone who falls outside of it.
Okay.
So
I
it,
feel like
yeah.
here it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know of anyone that's like gotten in trouble or anything. I think it's kind of like an unsaid thing, but the problem is women don't know that. And so from what I've seen, a lot of women, myself included, I didn't realize that I can do whatever I want to. There's no liability on my stand from my standpoint, but also I do know that a lot of the home birth midwives are given a hard time when it comes to transfers and that kind of thing. And the moms, too, incredible pressure and expectation put on them for how quickly they then have to get to the pediatrician or whatever after the birth. I've heard of that happening a lot. But I was not as familiar with how varied all of these statutes and that kind of thing are. And it does seem like here the midwives are able to practice somewhat freely, but it's kind of, again, an underground web of connections and not something that I can go to Google and find, hey, I would like to have a home birth. Like, where can I find someone? So therefore, women think it's illegal and that there aren't any options. And I mean, I was kind of in that camp as well until I got better connected through a crunchy community, per se, of. And the first thing that I did when I found out I was pregnant, literally probably the same day I told my husband, I think, is connect with a doula who I knew was connected to a really great midwife because I knew that they filled up really fast because there's so much demand and not enough options. So wild, right? So, okay. So North Carolina is kind of like, don't talk about it and keep it underground. West Virginia is the Wild West. New York is very strict. Talk about California and their situation.
Right. I mean, that's what's kind of fun about it is, you've got the like whole image of like that's where the hippies are and stuff. But I think any midwife will tell you, and California included, you know, that their clients really are a spectrum. You know, it's people who are consider themselves crunchy. It's people who, you know, maybe they've had medical trauma with past births, and so they're interested in home births. One really interesting thing about just like Hollywood or that area is that there are a lot of celebrities, you know, based in California who really like home birth. Hilary Duff, Nikki Reed, there are some others, but you know, I almost they're pretty public about it, but I'm like, I want you guys to be even more public. Like,
Yeah, I didn't
you
know
know,
that.
if the celebrity you like is into home birth, like I feel like people buy stuff just because Kim Kardashian puts her name
Oh,
on
for
it.
sure they
Like, you
do.
know, let's have some celebrity branded home birth
Yeah, and
here,
I
you
can
know?
understand how, as a celebrity, you don't want to go into the hospital when you're about to have a baby. I can get that. Even
Totally. And they
all the
have
rest
so
of it
many
aside.
resources. Yeah, they have so many resources at their disposal to really find the best care, things like that. I didn't realize Hilary Duff was a home birth mom. And then I saw a clip of her new show, How I Met Your Father, where she like ends up accidentally, but she like says she's gonna photograph a home birth, but then she ends up like being the midwife or like some crazy sitcom scenario.
Oh,
I was
wow.
texting another of my home birth mom friends about it, and she was like, oh, Hilary Duff is a home birther. Like that's probably where this whole thing came from, is she's a home birther.
Interesting. That's awesome.
So
Well, I mean, that's great to know for sure.
yeah.
So what did you, I know that in the article, like there are a lot of perspectives, even from places like North Carolina, where my thought was that people are like me that are like, we need to get these midwives licensed. But it sounds like some people are like, no, we don't, we just want to keep things as they are. What was that perspective like? Because I was a little bit surprised by that perspective, but then when I thought about it further, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe that makes sense. Like, we don't want to change anything because there could be too much regulation or whatever. Is that what the fear is?
That's definitely the fear. And so the most interesting person I have interviewed on this topic is midwife Carol Nelson. She is literally a 50-year midwife. She's based at the farm in Summertown, Tennessee, which is like a very famous midwifery center. You know, Ina Mae Gaskin's associated with it, the famous, you know, author and midwife. But so Carol has been crucial in the fight since the 70s to, you know, get certified professional midwives recognized, and she's on the board of the body that does that, and she just has overseen a lot of this. And so she totally gets when some people are like, well, it's working for me right now to be like, don't ask, don't tell, you know, licensure isn't offered, but it's, you know, that's not good or bad, you know. And what she has said is that anywhere where you do have licensure and legality and just, you know, less underground, she said the number of midwives just becomes so much greater. Like the supply gets greater, or the demand gets greater, but the supply for these midwives, the supply of midwives also gets greater, which to me, that's what I will always want, is it being more of an option, not just for true believers, but for as many women as, you know, want to explore home birth.
Yeah, because if you don't know it's something you can even consider, you're not going to consider it.
Totally, totally. And you know, even just for me, writing this article was about just exposing people to even the idea of home birth. You know, it's not just crazy people who want to do it. It's a decision that a lot of moms and dads make with, you know, a lot of serious thought. And there are serious pros to it. There are cons as well, but I've been really happy with the choice. My husband's been really happy with the choice. I joke that he's more of a home birth evangelist than me. He'll like start conversations with people. I'm like, oh gosh, baby, we don't need to tell them that.
Mine too.
But
And he's a medical provider. And that was interesting. When I first was talking with my midwife, I was very surprised to learn, because my husband practices integrative medicine, so we're kind of out there in the view of traditional medicine anyway. But it was very interesting that she shared with me that a lot of her clients have been the wives of physicians, and I because they've seen all of the things and that happen sometimes inside the hospital, and actually have encouraged their wives to consider home birth, which I found that very surprising. But she, I mean, I don't, she obviously didn't share tons of information with me about it, but I was like, oh my goodness, that's really, really pretty cool. So, yeah.
That's borne out in my article. I mean, I open with the anecdote of Carly Smith, who's a former labor and delivery surgical tech, and that made her decide she wanted to do home birth, just kind of deciding what she wanted for her. Yeah, it makes sense. And I've even read articles, I just kind of like to keep up with news coverage of home birth, and there are some very mainstream, normally side with groups like the AMA and ACOG, groups that write about, medical news. And even they have to see that home birth is rising because people just don't trust traditional medicine and hospitals right now. The
Yes, and I think
trust
that
is broken.
COVID skyrocketed the home birth dramatically. Like, I will say that that played a role in my own decision because I had two really lovely natural hospital births and loved them. But I was like, I don't want to be anywhere near anything that's overly medical right now because I don't know what might change during the course of my pregnancy that might change what my options are, or if my husband can be there, or if they're going to make me labor in a mask or whatever. You just don't know. And so that played heavily into my decision for sure. So, I mean, I think there's so many new considerations as well. And I think that there's also a lot of younger women. I love this phenomenon moving more into like rejecting hormonal birth control and considering home birth and worrying about our hormones and what we're eating and all of that. It's just really fascinating to see this kind of shift in that younger generation, much younger than me at this point, but I'm loving watching it. I'm like, this is really awesome. I wish I'd known all these things back when I was, becoming a mom for the first time. And so that's one of the things I think has been really helpful is understanding things a little better and being okay with thinking outside of the box a little bit, and that's more encouraged than discouraged at this point, which I appreciate on lots of levels. So,
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah, and COVID, home birth rates skyrocketing during COVID, that definitely happened, but the fact that these rates are staying sustained or continuing to grow, I think it shows that COVID was just like it gave home birth rates a boost, but they were already on the way up.
Oh yeah. I know my midwife, she's had several students working with her for a while, and she feels like there's enough demand for all of them to be fully busy. 'Cause I know she's only been taking on clients that are repeats or like very close connections, which I was grateful she was willing to take me on because of that. But I mean, there's huge demand and it's getting bigger and bigger regardless of regulation. And when we do have those options, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this. We want to keep talking about it and let women know that they have options. And just, I think that what I like to encourage is look into the actual numbers, the actual risks, the actual benefits, what you're gaining, what you're avoiding. And then, yes, there's risk involved. There's risk involved always. And knowing if you're a good candidate or not, and knowing that you have a good provider that's going to let you know when you need to be transferred and your care needs to be transferred. And also knowing that what I have learned also, the transfers are not usually emergencies. That's hardly ever happens. It's usually in those last couple of months of pregnancy, certain things happen that make CPMs feel like you're maybe not the best candidate for home birth anymore because there is something that needs to be more closely monitored. I think people think about these like absolute emergencies when they think about a transfer, and that's not what usually happens. So that's another point. Okay, as we're finishing up, I want to hear a little bit more about your decision as a mom. I want to hear a little bit more about your journalist career and then kind of how you decided to freelance on your own, because I'm all about women having their thing that they do that, keeps them in their field of work, but also allows them the flexibility to care for their children mostly That's the avenue that I took, and I couldn't be happier to be able to kind of have a toe in each area still, but also not feel tied to someone else's schedule and desk and have a boss outside of myself. So tell me a little bit about what you did before in your transition.
Yes, and that's exactly how I have kind of, those are the considerations I have taken as well. So I was working in full time as a journalist full time, definitely kind of had positioned myself where anybody in my shoes would probably want to position themselves, which is a 22-year-old full-time reporter for FoxNews.com, doing whatever I want, my higher ups telling me we see you as editor material, like all this, getting Twitter followers. But I just pretty quickly realized it's not a family-friendly field if you're doing breaking news and political news full time. I remember I had an editor basically say, like, you just won't get to eat dinner with your kids, and that's just the sacrifice. And I was like, oh, and I didn't have a child at this point. I was engaged. I was like, oh, I'm gonna rethink my life. Okay. And so I moved into a position that still allowed me to write part-time, but was just more family friendly, and so
Well, and
now
I
I'm
love that you made those connections early on. You worked hard while you could to prove yourself, and now you have the flexibility. You've already have all these connections inside of your field to be able to then say, hey, I want to write about this really cool thing. Would you guys consider running it? And then you get on the front page, and that's awesome. I love that.
totally, totally. So honestly, I've always loved writing. I loved covering. I got to even cover North Carolina politics from the DC Bureau. So I've always loved writing, but it's definitely felt like a next level and something unlocked that I get to freelance and write about things that I just really love, like home birth. It's like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's how
Yeah,
it feels.
that's awesome.
And so I've loved being able to do that. And then I have to give a quick plug for another place I write for, which I always have to do a disclaimer. I did not found it. It's not named after me,
I asked you that. I
evmagazine.com.
know what you're gonna say. I remember asking you that when I first when
I,
we
yeah,
I
I
was
get
like,
asked that all the time.
yeah,
A
sorry, I didn't let you
wonderful,
finish what it is though.
no, you're fine. A wonderful lady named Brittany Martinez is the founder. She just happened to pick my name. And I got in touch with them and was like, if it's not too weird for me to write for you, I'd love to write for you.
Yes,
So
EV Magazine.
I've really enjoyed that. And kind of writing for them goes to my passion for educating women about their health, just letting women know their options. Women are smart. Women are going to make good decisions. And even for them, I tend to write a lot more about like relationships and pop culture. I'm not a health expert. I leave it to, they actually have health experts and doulas and different people who write for them. So they cover a lot of just holistic health stuff.
And I love that because it's they have all this beautiful fashion stuff and that kind of thing. I don't fully subscribe to it, but I love reading the articles when I can. In fact, I should fully subscribe to it because I really enjoy it. So I don't know why I haven't done that yet, but I
They
feel
have good
like I'm
stuff.
kind of too old for it, but I've decided I'm not, so that's fine. But
You're an indie girl. You're an indie girl.
it's such a it's It is kind of like the what do you call it? It's the complete opposite of something like Cosmo or Vogue and all of these women's magazines that have just completely lost what it truly means, in my opinion, to be a woman and embracing our femininity and that kind of thing. When our culture can't even define what a woman is, we have these kinds of sources that are actually giving women good information, not these things that are almost like, what is this and why is this in this magazine? So, I occasionally, if I'm somewhere, which is not very often anymore, where there's a magazine sitting there, I'll flip through it just to see how terrible it is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is why does anyone want to read this? But Evie, I feel like, has really embraced that. I don't like to use the word traditional, but it's sort of the traditional values of women and family and yes, career, but femininity and relationships and really thoughtful topics, like you said, where you actually are using your brain and like, oh, this is really an interesting thing to read. And so and they also have the beautiful pictures and fashion and all that, like we've come to love in magazines. So yes, plug for Evie Magazine. I did ask Evie that when we first connected. I was like, "Are you the Evie magazine, Evie?" And she's like, "No, it's." But I love that you write for them, so that's awesome. Now, do you still do any political news or not as much?
Not like breaking day-to-day political. I'm trying to think of what I might have coming out. When you write for, print magazines and things that are long form, sometimes you write it and you forget about it and it gets published a year later. So I have an interesting book review that's more about like international relations coming out.
Ooh, that's cool.
It makes me sound a lot smarter than I am. But yeah, I still love following politics, but it's nice not to have to pay attention to like, okay, what's the latest Bernie
Right,
Sanders?
what happened 5 minutes ago and what
Oh my
happened
goodness.
tomorrow? And
I'm so thankful for my friends that do that. But now I get to kind of look at the bigger picture of like, and even the things that aren't as flashy, like state legislatures making decisions about licensing midwives. I can kind of dig into the wonky stuff.
And I was telling Evie before, I've actually shared her article with several of our legislators, and North Carolina has had several bills. They've unfortunately not gone terribly far, but I do think that there's been more and more energy and synergy toward addressing the CPM situation. And I'm really hopeful that in 2025, we might be able to get somewhere. And articles like yours are great things for us to share with our legislators because it's a relatively quick read and they can get a snapshot of what's happening in other places. And I love to share those kinds of resources with our legislators. So anyway, well, Evie, it's so good to meet you on a screen and to be able to connect further. And I look forward to reading more of your work and congratulations again, and best of luck becoming a boy mom. If you need any tips, I'll try, but I'm not an expert. So,
I think you're an expert.
I don't know. If you ask them, I'm not. I don't understand anything. So, anyway, thank you again for coming on Healthy Discourse, and we'll connect again soon.